D.C. has begun enforcement on so-called drug-free zones around the city. In Maryland, crossover day has come and gone. We'll take a look at what bills made it over the line. And in Virginia, Republican and Democratic leaders are at a budget standstill over a proposal to bring the Capitals and Wizards to Alexandria. WAMU's Kojo Namdi is with us to discuss these stories from this past week. Hi, Kojo.
Top of the morning to you, Esther.
All right, Kojo, these drug-free zone enforcement areas were a provision to come out of the Secure DC omnibus crime bill that recently went into effect. What are drug-free zones and how does the enforcement around them work?
You know, when residents are fed up with crime in their neighborhoods, they've got one of two options. They can call on the police for help or they can try to do something about it themselves. It's a sign of the times that the latter option isn't even considered anymore. What do I mean by this? In the 1990s, during the crack cocaine epidemic and its attendant crime wave, there were drug-free zones, but there were also what were known as orange hat patrols, groups of neighborhood residents, including many elderly residents, wearing orange hats who patrolled their communities at night and who maintained close contact with the police to alert them when they observed or suspected criminal activity nearby. At one point, there were 14 Orange Hat Patrol groups in parts of Northwest D.C. That deafening silence you hear now is nobody talking about Orange Hat Patrols. It's a new day, apparently with way more guns on the street now than there were then. So, the city's latest crime law allows drug-free zones again. They're designated areas where police can tell people they suspect of selling or using drugs to leave that area or face arrest if the police see them involved in a drug deal. It's complicated. It's not an anti-loitering law, according to police, so it's not illegal to be in a drug-free zone, but you can't be congregating for the purpose of distribution or possession of drugs. Critics of the law say it's just going to result in the arrest and incarceration of more black and brown people who are not committing violent crimes. But what's clear is that community residents, by and large, are demanding the city do more to stop crime. So whether or not drug-free zones help to do that, we shall see.
Shifting now to the Maryland General Assembly, crossover day, the point where bills approved in the state Senate and House are sent to the opposite chamber for consideration, was Monday. Tell us about some of the bills that survived.
I find it interesting that you would bring this up in the middle of March madness, when the only crossover most people are talking about now is a complicated basketball move involving shifting your dribble from one hand to the other at lightning speed. But come to think of it, crossover day is a lot like that. But this time, both houses were able to complete their business in the House alone, almost 200 bills, in reasonable time. With that many bills, obviously we can't get into a lot of specifics here, but a couple of things do stand out. One is that it was a big day for Governor Wes Moore. 15 of the 16 bills he deemed priorities made it through at least one chamber. The other is what remains unresolved, and how to pay for the state's massive education initiative is one. The House is proposing a $1.2 billion package that would include taxes, fees, and tolls. The Senate would prefer to pull from the state's rainy day fund and not raise taxes. Today on the Politics Hour, we'll talk with Democratic Senator Will Smith about how this might be sorted out.
All right. Finally, in Virginia, it seems lawmakers are still really far from any kind of budget deal that includes funding for a proposed arena and entertainment district in Alexandria for monumental sports. What's the latest here, Kojo?
Let the record show that Governor Glenn Youngkin has spoken directly with Senate Finance Appropriations Committee Chairwoman Louise Lucas about the arena, albeit in a video conference which included House Appropriations Committee Chairman Luke Florian. How did that go? Gregory Schneider of the Washington Post quotes Senator Lucas as saying, "He brought up the arena again, and I told him it was a non-starter for me." She continued, "I'm like cement, or since I grew up in the shipyard, I can say I'm like steel." So it looks like the only hope the governor has for the arena is to try to go around Senator Lucas. And what you'll hear from Delegate Paul Krizek on the Politics Hour today is whether that's likely to happen. But wait. If I tell you what Delegate Krizek is likely to say, then you won't need to listen to the Politics Hour at noon. And we can't have that.
I'm sure he'll say other things.
Oh, no. Tom Sherwood and I have to have a reason for being. So see you at noon.
All right. That is WAMU's Kojo Namdi with a look back at some of the week's top stories. Thanks, Kojo.
You're more than welcome, Esther.